Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be with you this afternoon to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ with each of you. Today, we're going to look at a wonderful passage of Scripture from John 13, 1 through 17, in which Jesus Christ is the greatest example of servanthood when he rises up from dinner and washes the feet of his disciples, prefiguring what he would do for us on the cross. So this is a great passage to learn about the great love of Jesus Christ in being our servant, as well as learning ourselves from him how to be servants. Before we read the scripture of John 13, 1 through 17, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that the Lord Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven, the glorious existence of heaven, to become a man so that he could understand our weaknesses, so that he could overcome sin for us, so that he would die on the cross to give us eternal life as the greatest servant, the one who meets our greatest need, salvation. Teach us from this passage what it means to be servants. Give us the strength to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Reading from John 13, 1 through 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not now understand, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me Lord and teacher, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So we see in this passage that Jesus Christ has the perfect heart of a servant. He is the perfect servant. The final sentence of verse 1 gives us his heart. It tells us that having loved his disciples, his own, he loved them to the end. That verse means that Jesus loved his disciples in every circumstance, in every situation, when they were following him and when they were not, when they were faithful to him and when they were not, when they were fickle because of their changing feelings, and when they were not fickle, when they were sick and when they were well, when they were discouraged and when they were encouraged. Jesus loved them in every circumstance and at all times because his love is perfect. And the same can be said of Jesus' love for us, for his own, that he has chosen before the creation of the world, his own, those who have trusted him by the power of his grace and for whom Jesus died. He loves us when we're fickle and when we're not faithful and when we're faithful. He loves us when we're sick and when we're well. He loves us when we're discouraged and when we're encouraged. He loves us in trial and difficulty, and he loves us in seasons of pleasure and joy. His love is truly unchanging. He loves his disciples despite their self-seeking attempts to glorify themselves. In fact, Luke tells us in Luke 22 that his disciples on the occasion of the supper were arguing about who was best and greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the greatest expression of Jesus' servant love is when he went to the cross and demonstrated perfect servanthood in dying for the disciples who would follow him, everyone but Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And he died in perfect sacrificial love, servant love for you and me. You know, the love of Jesus Christ is out of all proportion to our deserving. The love of Jesus Christ is out of all proportion to our ability to earn it, because we can never earn it. We simply receive it by faith in him. And it's out of all proportion to our need. Jesus' love is much greater than our need. I want to tell you a story, and I wanted to encourage your hearts about Jesus' love that is displayed to us out of all proportion to our need. A soldier was returning from the Vietnam War, and he was going to East Texas to return home to his parents. The young man had been badly injured in the Vietnam War, so that he lost one or two of his limbs, and his face was badly disfigured and marred. He wrote to his parents ahead of time, and he told them, "Mom and Dad, I've been badly injured in the war and disfigured, and I know you might not want to see me in this condition. And I can understand if you can't handle the condition that I'm now in. I'm not handsome anymore. So let's do this. When I'm going to arrive by train, and as I pull into the train station, you know that old oak tree as you enter the train station. If you can handle seeing me, and if you want me to live with you, place a yellow ribbon on that oak tree. But I'll understand if you don't want to see me, and if there's no yellow ribbon on that oak tree as we pull into the station, I'll just continue on the train on my way." So he decided to do that. His parents were agreeable. So as he pulled into the train station, you can imagine how he felt when everywhere he looked, there were yellow ribbons. There were yellow ribbons in the train station. There were yellow ribbons on the oak tree. Even the conductor had yellow ribbons from head to foot. And that's a reminder and a picture to us of Jesus serving grace, that we have been badly marred and wounded by our sin. And we have wrecked our own lives in many instances by our own sin. But Jesus Christ puts yellow ribbons in our train station. But they're really not yellow ribbons. They're red ribbons in his own precious blood that he poured out for us. This passage shows us that though we've been marred and broken by sin, that Jesus planned to go to the greatest depths of servanthood by offering his life on the cross of Calvary to bring us into eternal fellowship with God. Now you might ask, well, how does Jesus show his servanthood in this passage? Well, follow me. We're told first that at this supper, Jesus rises up from the table. And in a far greater way, in his incarnation, Jesus rose up from the throne of glory, where he had perfect fellowship with the Father, and he became a man, suffering weakness, suffering pain, suffering all the trials and temptations that we do perfectly. We are told that he not only rose up from the supper, he laid aside his outer garments. Jesus did that in a far greater way when he left his glorious existence in heaven to become the servant of servants and to go to the cross for us. We are told he took the water from the outer basin. He poured it out. Jesus poured out his blood on the cross to wash us from the stain of our sin. Then he took a towel, the form of a servant, and he wrapped himself in a towel like a Gentile servant would do. And he bowed in the lowest form of servanthood. And he washed the dirty feet of the disciples. What is your response to Jesus' cleansing blood? You know, Peter's response to Jesus washing his feet was to say, "Never, Lord." And then the Lord confronted and convicted him and said, "Lord, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me." Bringing Peter to a place so Peter would stop putting his foot in his mouth and humble himself and recognize that Peter needed to be the gospel, the good news of the gospel, a relationship with the Lord every day of his life. And so Peter responds, "Lord, not my feet, but all of me." You know, we need a gospel bath every day if we're going to be servants of Jesus. We need a cleansing. In that culture, if someone bathed and then their whole body and then they walk to their neighbor's house, they just needed their feet to be cleansed. And Jesus is saying, "Peter, and all of you except Judas, you're saved by my justifying love on the cross to come. Therefore, you need to be purified from the contaminating effects of sin daily." And it's the same for us who are followers. We need to be cleansed from the contaminating effects of sin daily. Do you take a gospel bath daily, confessing your sin to the Lord, bathing yourself in his grace, being overwhelmed with the wonder of his love, and then rising from the place of confession to thanksgiving? That's, you know, the power of Christ's grace to serve one another comes as we are joyfully aware of our identity, loved greatly by Christ, and also servants of the Lord and one another at the same time. Are you a servant in your home? Jesus said, "Happy or blessed are you if you do servanthood." Happy are you if you serve your wife. Happy are you if you serve your husband. Happy are you if you serve your children. Happy are you if you serve your brother and sister in Christ. Do you know we have the greatest opportunity in these days of the virus to demonstrate servanthood to one another, to respectfully honor one another, by praying for one another, by calling one another, by sending cards to one another, but also by respecting our differences as servants. There may be people in your life, they wear masks. You choose not to, but you can do your utmost to speak well of them, to pray for them, to show them honor, and to serve them by keeping a safe social distance to protect them from the virus. And those of you who wear masks, you can honor those who don't by also keeping your social distance, but treating them as brothers and sisters in Christ. These are great days to demonstrate servanthood to brothers and sisters in Christ and to those who don't know the Lord. So let's seek to use the freedoms we have in Christ to serve one another, following Jesus' example. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ demonstrated the greatest servanthood, going to the depths of dying on the cross for us, and that through his servanthood, we are saved from our sin and given eternal life. We thank you. We have the Holy Spirit in us, Christ in us, enabling us to be servants. Enable us to yield to the Spirit's power to serve one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.